I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You would respond with the words, watch me.
Watch
many
me.
American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is your judgment.
To public
that
polls.
Is not the judgment concerns. Of the press.
They express concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other Democrats who could defeat Donald Trump. So why does it have to be you now? What is your answer to that question?
Because I'm the most qualified person in this country to be President of the United States and finish the job I started. I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter.
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not.
No, he did not say that.
Okay. He did not say that.
He did not say that. He did that. And get off my yard. Get off my yard. You kids, get off my yard. It was that kind of what it sounded like overall. It did to me. But I'll have to admit, put yourself, even if you were fully cognitive of everything, in the middle of a press horde shouting and yelling questions at you. I want to know who the hell thought that was going to be a good idea anyway. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But in the beginning, when Joe Biden came forward last night and decided he wanted to address the special counsel's ruling that he did not willfully hide classified material, and if he did, it wouldn't be prosecuted anyway. It was a double-edged sword. It helped him, and yet it damned him. It's not good. We'll break it down for you. But in the beginning, I really did. I, in listening and watching him last night, it reminded me of some old man. Don't look at me when I say that. Yelling at the kid, get off my yard, get off my yard. All right, here we go. This Feb 9, 2024, a Friday. Oh, yeah, we get giddy on a Friday. Then I worry about over the weekend how many things I can pull together for a story for Monday. And then come Monday, I had to throw them all out because new material has surfaced and made the other irrelevant, useless, or totally bad. But we take every day we can on the air with you. And here we are, 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday through Friday evening. You can't miss us. We're here 6 to 8 Monday through Friday. And, of course, you can listen not only directly to the station and the station signals we have, 101.9, 94.1 FM, but also via your app. I showed that app to a couple of people that weren't aware of it. It's very easy to download. You just go to newstalkstl.com and open that up, and it will show you how to do it. Or even then, you can push a button at the top, and it will start it for you. It may redirect it to another page, but it will open up the app. Then all you do is push it, and you're listening live. And if you're in your car, you do it, and you run it through your Bluetooth system. Make it one of these devices attached to your Bluetooth, like your phone is anyway, and it'll play back perfectly. And reminding you, if you miss anything, we've got options for you for both audio and video because we are on a constant basis rolling video for you when we're on the air. We are streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. And the podcasts are then put up later everywhere. And, of course, we push you mainly to Larry Connors USA to get the podcast if you miss it and you want to go back. I encourage you to do so. And, of course, you can also get audio and video there, as well as Larry Connors USA Facebook. We're everywhere available for you. And, more importantly, when you do watch, listen, both, push the button to share. and pass it along to others at the same time. We want more and more involved, and you're helping us do that, and I appreciate it. All right, as I raised the question a moment ago, who in the White House thought it was a good idea that after this special counsel report come out that Biden go address it? Did he push it? Did he say, I want to get out there and tell them and show them, see, I'm not guilty of anything? And, of course, tried to differentiate a difference between me and Trump. You know, I made everything available to them. But, of course, he did mishandle documents. They were found in his garage, opened up, available for even Hunter Biden to get into because he took his dad's Corvette out a couple times. So he had keys to the garage. We don't know what Hunter Biden took out of those files or even took pictures of and then passed on to others, do we? Well, Larry, you're assuming he did. Yeah, I'm assuming he could have. I mean, if they're not under full concealment, he could have. But Biden wants you to believe that the documents at Mar-a-Lago were more accessible than what he had in his garage. Give me a break. You were not going to get into those documents that Trump had at Mar-a-Lago unless you went through a security check. And on top of that, the Secret Service and others checked into those details and how he is holding them. Said, we think everything's okay. You might just add this and add that to make it more secure. And again, as president, he could declassify. But when Biden left with a lot of the papers and documents he had, only one person can declassify documents. That's the president. And when he was vice president, he couldn't do it. And when he was senator, he certainly couldn't. And all of these go back decades. But here, one point that got brought up that Biden really wanted to put a stop to, referenced that he had classified documents and referred to them himself. Point of contention.
Let me answer your question. The fact of the matter is, what I didn't want repeated, I didn't want him to know, and I didn't read it to him, was I had written a long memorandum to President Obama why we should not be in this, in Afghanistan. And I was of multiple pages. And so what I was referring to, I said classified. I should have said it was should be private because it was a contact between the president and the vice president as to what was going on. That's what he's referring to. It was not classified information in that document. That was not classified.
Well, I'm going to allow that response. He misspoke in the sense that it was a private document. It wasn't a classified document. And his objections about Obama going into Afghanistan, and in fact, he'd even considered resigning, he had noted at one point. But they thought, if I leave Obama now, that's going to hurt him worse, and he may still go ahead and do it, so maybe I need to be the other voice still in the room. That's the way Biden was explaining it in the letter, in the communique he had with the President Biden, I mean President Obama at that point. So, again, that would not be classified. That I will agree with. But here's the way it was written by special counsel Herr when he was referring to different things. He pointed out and highlighted various things and added that the president even admitted, as he did in the news conference last night, this was taking place, this interview, five-hour sit-down over 2 days, started on the 8th of October. And, of course, at that point, we had Hamas attacking Israel the 7th and war beginning to unfold in the Middle East. But, of course, the other part of that issue is, are you saying you can't, as president, do more than one thing at a time? But he wanted to make a point that I did everything I could to be helpful. Even at a time when I was under a lot of stress and had a lot of things going on, I sat down and answered questions. He could have easily said, this is not the time, and it would have been an allowable excuse, in my opinion. But then if he's going to do it, he better do it well. So Biden, when it came down to how these classified documents ended at his house and in his garage and here and there, he does have an answer.
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I've become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Mr. President.
Voters have concerns about your age. How are you going to assuage them? And do you fear that this report is only going to fuel further concerns about your age?
Only by some of you.
Mr. President, you are clear on criminal liability today. Do you take responsibility for at least being careless with classified material?
I take responsibility for not having seen exactly what my staff was doing. There's, it goes in and points out things that appeared in my garage, things that came out of my home, things that were moved not by me, but my staff. By my staff.
But he did acknowledge I should have been overseeing it. I mean, no one believes he physically moved those boxes. Give me a break. But the special counsel also added in his evaluation that Joe Biden did not remember even within several years when his son Beau died. Obviously, he knows he died, but he couldn't remember the date or anything. Now, Congressman Dan Goldman of New York reacted immediately. He said, that is slanted partisanship editorializing by a Republican-appointed prosecutor. The material was talking about his memory was completely irrelevant to what his changing decision was. He was editorializing about why the president wrote his memoirs, and through that, he said, obviously, he knew when his son died, and it was just looking for an opportunity to go after him. And even in front of the media last night, the president says, of course I know my son died. I have a bracelet on here. Now, I don't know if you've ever lost a loved one and you look back, and I will admit to this, too. The date my father died is kind of blank to me. I think I have mentally blocked it out on purpose. So now I put it in my phone as a reminder. And yes, I know my dad died, but if you ask me the date right now, I'm not sure I could tell you. I don't consider that cognitive. I think in some cases just trying to ignore it, but you can't. But the other deal you have to consider is what Biden was doing last night and how they did that. What does that reveal about him and where does this go? GOP strategists are already talking about it. And I want you to hear from a Democrat strategist, James Carville.
This kind of confirms an existing suspicion, which is always dangerous in politics. When people think something, they get a piece of information, they go, yeah, Martha, you see that? I told you that guy was old. And his problem is not so much what Trump people or Republicans. There are a lot of Democrats that have doubts about his age. But I think he did as well as he could have done under the circumstances. I didn't know what it was going to be about. Like most of us, I figured this is what it was going to be about. But this is not going to go away.
It's not going to go away. And Congresswoman Mary Miller, Republican of Illinois, is already calling on Biden to resign and said for the safety he should. And so she wants to invoke the 25th Amendment that would declare him mentally unfit. We're going to get into that in more detail later. In fact, later this hour, Heritage Foundation constitutional expert Hans von Spakovsky will join us. His view of the special counsel report and remarks on Biden, plus the 25th Amendment, the SCOTUS hearing on Colorado trying to ban Trump from the ballot, but first part of the Tucker Carlson interview with Russian President Putin, which even before Tucker did the interview, leftists were labeling him a traitor. Really? Really, just because he's a journalist asking questions? Really?
One of our senior United States senators from the state of New York, Chuck Schumer, said yesterday, I believe, that we have to continue to fund the Ukrainian effort or U.S. soldiers, citizens could wind up fighting there. How do you assess that?
Well, if somebody has the desire to send regular troops, that would certainly bring humanity to the brink of very serious global conflict. This is obvious. Do the United States need this? What for? Thousands of miles away from your national territory. Don't you have anything better to do? You have issues on the border, issues with migration, issues with the national debt, more than $33 trillion. You have nothing better to do, so you should fight in Ukraine?
Well, he nailed that answer, didn't he? That was Putin's response. And Tucker Carlson was talking about Senator Chuck Schumer the other day, saying, if you don't pass our border bill, our farce border bill, we'll get more on that later, then we might end up having, because it has money attached to Ukraine, we won't get that money, we might end up having to send U.S. troops into Ukraine, trying to scare the American public. And Putin starts saying, don't you have better things to do with your immigration, your $33 trillion debt and all this? And he continued.
Wouldn't it be better to negotiate with Russia, make an agreement, already understanding the situation that is developing today, realizing that Russia will fight for its interests to the end?
So I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I don't think that I am. I think you're saying you want a negotiated settlement to what's happening in Ukraine.
Right. And we made it. We prepared a huge document in Istanbul that was initialed by the head of the Ukrainian delegation. He affixed his signature to some of the provisions, not to all of it. He put his signature and then he himself said, we were ready to sign it and the war would have been over long ago, 18 months ago. However, Prime Minister Johnson came, talked us out of it, and we missed that chance.
Well, now, Prime Minister Johnson of the UK has strongly, continually denied claims, saying that is total nonsense, Russian propaganda. Said, I did nothing to put a stop to any peace efforts. But that was a statement from Putin. Now, Tucker Carlson did ask him a question about the Nord Stream explosion. Remember, September 2022, we had underwater explosions and gas leaks in Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2. Two of the gas pipelines linking Europe and Russia, built to transport natural gas from Russia to Germany. And then suddenly, boom.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
You for sure.
I was busy that day. Nate, I did not blow up Nord Stream. Thank you, though.
You personally may have an alibi, but the CIA has no such alibi.
Do you have evidence that NATO or the CIA did it?
You know, I won't get into details, but people always say in such cases, look for someone who is interested. But in this case, we should not only look for someone who is interested, but also for someone who has capabilities.
Now, you know, all the leftist media that was condemning Tucker even doing this, he did not throw softball questions. He asked some good questions, and Putin made his response. And Tucker Carlson did ask about that Wall Street Journal reporter being held on basically conspiracy charges that were probably faked by Russia just to hold him for a future exchange. We'll get to that and other parts of the Tucker Carlson interview later in the next hour, in our second hour. And also Hawaii Democrats want to ignore the Second Amendment. We'll also get to that in the second hour. Coming up, still in this hour, Heritage constitutional expert on the investigation of Biden, the classified material, the 25th Amendment, SCOTUS considering banning Trump from Colorado and other states. I want you to hear from Hans specifically about the remarks made by the prosecutor in reference to Biden. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Hans von Spupkowski. He is a constitutional law expert with the Heritage Foundation. You not only hear him here, and I thank him always graciously for giving us his time because he's in demand from every major news outlet. Hans, welcome aboard again, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, always glad to, sir. In fact, I put out the word yesterday. That was prior to Biden's appearance last night in the special counsel report, because I wanted to talk to you about SCOTUS dealing with the Colorado case and Trump ban. I am going to get to that in a moment. But, of course, now the more pressing and the most immediate thing has been the ruling by the special counsel looking at did Biden hold back any classified materials willfully. And before we get into that in detail, I just want to get your assessment, not on the ruling, but some of the comments that the prosecutor attached, which Democrats are saying was purely partisan.
Well, they're wrong about that. The comment you're talking about is that, he puts in the report about the memory, the multiple memory lapses of the president when HERS lawyers were interviewing about these classified documents. I mean, he couldn't even remember when he was vice president. Some are saying, oh, that was just gratuitous. He shouldn't have mentioned it. But in fact, it was necessary to support his recommendation. You know, what HERS says is, look, there was sufficient evidence to show that, Biden deliberately, willfully, knowingly took classified documents with him when he left office as the vice president. That is exactly the same thing that Donald Trump is being criminally prosecuted for. But at the end of the report, HER recommends no prosecution. And despite the evidence, why? Because he says he doesn't think he could get a conviction with a jury because what they would feel is sympathy for an elderly man with memory problems. So that's why he put that in there, to justify his recommendation that there be no prosecution.
So there's a double-edged sword there, but listening to the Biden White House response, inappropriate criticism, inaccurate, gratuitous, and wrong.
Well, if he hadn't put it in there, how in the world could the special counsel and the Justice Department possibly justify not recommending prosecution of Biden when he leaves office for, like I said, willfully taking these classified documents and disclosing them? Now, they couldn't.
That opened several doors. First of all, Comey took that approach with Hillary, saying no reasonable prosecutor would find reason to prosecute what she did. Yes, she was wrong, but no one would carry forward with it. It sounds like they're playing out the same playbook.
Yeah, except that that wasn't Comey's decision to make.
No, it wasn't. You're right. He made it for Loretta. Here I go, Biden. Loretta Lynch,
the Attorney General.
Yeah, the Attorney General.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he went far outside what his duty was. He's the head of the FBI. The FBI's job is to investigate
right. And
find the evidence and then present that to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General makes the decision.
Correct.
Instead, Comey says, no, there should be no prosecution. And we both know why he did that, because at that time, everybody assumed Hillary Clinton would win the presidency, would be in the administration. And he was trying to ingratiate himself with what he expected to be the Clinton administration.
And, of course, we had that meeting on the tarmac when Bill Clinton went onto her plane when she's already being, the DOJ and Attorney General, investigating Hillary, and that little conflict. Supposedly she told Comey, well, whatever you decide, I'll go along with. So that gave her an out and told him, there's the door, take it. Now, there's several other doors I want to open. You mentioned Trump. Trump, of course, as president, could and says he did declassify material. As a vice president, Biden couldn't, and he certainly couldn't declassify what he had all the way back as a senator.
That is exactly right. And you'll notice that in the press conference, he didn't even acknowledge his wrongdoing. He tried to say that, oh, well, these materials were safe because they were locked in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. You know, if you're going to take that attitude, well, Donald Trump, those documents were a heck of a lot safer since they were in a facility being guarded by the Secret Service.
Yep, I agree with that. Plus, we know that Hunter Biden had access to that garage because he took the Corvette right out a couple of times. And we don't know if he took pictures of what's in there or even took some of the documents out for some of his business dealings.
No, that's right. And so, look, I actually don't agree with HERS recommendation. I think that the fact that you might have trouble convincing a jury doesn't mean that you go ahead with the prosecution when you've got the evidence you need to show that, in fact, there was an intentional violation of the law.
No, Biden, sir, with all due respect, Hans, you know I respect you. Biden says, my staff did it. My staff did it.
So he's recommending that his staff be prosecuted.
Right, right. Now, the other part of that is that we already, based on those remarks, and Congressman Dan Goldman, New York, says it was slanted partisan editorializing by Republican-appointed prosecutor. And we have Illinois Congressman Republican Mary Miller already saying Joe needs to resign or we need to enact the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, the problem with pulling in the 25th Amendment is that that's just not going to happen. The 25th Amendment, as you know, was ratified in 1967, and it was put in place to deal with something the Constitution really didn't deal with, which is what happens if a president becomes disabled in office and is not capable of carrying out his duties. Unless that president voluntarily does it himself, the only way he can be removed from carrying out his duties is if the Vice President of the United States and a majority of the cabinet, so basically, you know, the heads of justice, DOD, HHS, send a written notice to Congress, to both the Senate and the House, in which they declare that they believe the president is unable to carry out the duties of his office. At that point, the vice president becomes the acting president. But if the president disputes that, if the president says, no, I'm able to do this, well, then Congress, each house, has to vote on who's right, and it takes a two-thirds, not a majority, two-thirds vote of each House to remove the president.
Well, of course, you know this, but for the benefit of the audience, there are four sections to the 25th Amendment, and the right. amendment's been used only six times. And you were talking specifically about Section 2 that's been used twice, but Section 1 says whenever there's a vacancy, and again, this is the benefit of the audience, not for you, sir, the president shall nominate a vice president who should take office upon confirmation. I'm sorry, I jumped to 2. By Section 1, in case of the removal of the president from office or of his death by resignation, the vice president shall become president. So number 1 comes into play first, that if, in fact, he decides he's leaving, he can do so and Kamala moves in. Otherwise, you move down to Section 2 and she gets in.
Yeah, that's right. And if they use Section 4, if his cabinet officials all say, well, look, you really can't do this, well, then Kamala would become only the acting president. And if and when Biden actually recovered his mental capacity and could, then she goes back to being VP. Although, look, I'm not a doctor, but he seems to be exhibiting in public and through this report the signs of like early Alzheimer's, the memory lapses. And I mean, this report came on top of him, what, in the last 2 weeks, reciting imaginary conversations he claims he had in 2021 with the long dead leaders of Germany and France.
And none of us getting satisfaction out of watching anyone go through that.
No.
Let me go to the Supreme Court in our last couple of minutes here. They were dealing with the Colorado trying to ban Trump, and everything that was coming out, even from the leftist press, was basically that the judges were skeptical that Colorado could do that, and then the fear that, well, if you allow them, every red state will suddenly ban the Democrat candidate, and that opens Pandora's box.
Yeah, the justices were all asked very tough questions of the lawyer representing the voters in Colorado who want Trump off of the ballot. And, you know, a lot of people have been praising him, but I think he made serious errors in one. Oftentimes, he didn't really answer the questions he was being asked, or he dismissed them as saying, well, at one point he said to the Chief Justice, that's a frivolous concern. you don't say that to the Chief Justice.
I wouldn't think so, or why are you in my court, right?
No. And while the lawyer for Trump made, you know, very calm constitutional arguments about the history, the text of the applicable provision, the lawyer, again, for the voters, was making all of these what I consider to be very emotional, over-the-top arguments. Mm-hmm. That does not go over well with the justices. I mean, he started off, if you can believe this, like he started off his opening statement by comparing Donald Trump, who he said led a violent attack on the Capitol for the first time since the War of 1812. Now, comparing what happened on January 6th to British troops invading and burning Washington, D.C., is factually and historically just absurd.
Yeah, or also Puerto Rican nationalists shooting up the House chambers. I want to thank you, as always, for your time. Very quickly, you would expect we're going to get a ruling before Super Tuesday, obviously, right?
Oh, yes, perhaps long before.
All right, thanks, Hans von Spakovsky. I appreciate it. Coming up, who do you care about most in the country, you or illegals?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging at feet to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The negotiation didn't have a path to citizenship. It was entirely on their terms in order to get Ukraine funding, right?
Well, I mean, Chris, that's been a failed play for 20 years. So right. You are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
Whoa. That was Connecticut Senator. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm still, those words just ring in my ear over and over again. The people we care about most in this country, undocumented migrant. No. But anyway, let me get back to the point and help walk us through this thing. Those were remarks made on MSNBC by Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, saying that the people we care about most are undocumented migrants in our country. How many of you out there go along with that? And I'm asking even Democrats or independents. I want to know how many of you actually want to go along with it. And let me also remind you that just yesterday, word began to circulate that Joe Biden might decide that he would use, by executive order, his ability to curb migration by closing the border. Well, that's what we've been after all this time. And now he's going to do it right before the election. Does that kind of smell the place up a little bit, the timing? Well, of course it does. And, of course, they all want to talk about the whole migration package. I understand the immigration package and where we've got things we need to resolve. I know that. But you start right now because of what we've had with this invasion. We start by closing the border. Then we can work out all the rest of it. No one else comes in unless they're using the legitimate asylum claim. And we've got many, a million plus, waiting to come in on that and other opportunities that we afford migrants to come to the country. We're going to get into that part of it a little bit more in the second hour, but I want to go back again to Senator, I just, every time I think somebody like this is in the Senate, I'm thinking, who the hell lets this happen? And he's been there for quite some time. But he wants to tell you, again, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, the people we care about most are migrants.
The negotiation didn't have a path to citizenship. It was entirely on their terms in order to get Ukraine funding, right?
Well, I mean, Chris, that's been a failed play for 20 years. So right. You are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country.
Undocumented Americans, Quentin pointed out for me. Undocumented Americans. They're not an American. They're not an American. Undocumented. We care about them more than American citizens. Where did we go so wrong? Let me point you to 2020, first of all, and even before then. I'm not going to discuss how the vote happened and how Biden got into office. I won't go down that rabbit hole right now. I could, but I'm not going to. But ever since he got in and threw out the Trump Remain in Mexico policy and said stop building the border wall and agreed while running as a candidate against his own party members, I will go along with an open border. The same guy that in 2006 as a senator signed off on Secure the Fence Act, which was a border act to shut down illegals coming across the border. Joe Biden as a senator did that in 2006. I will remind him of that because I'm not sure he would. But I got to tell you, it's getting nasty on the other side as well. I'm looking at a quote here from Congressman Andy Oglas, Republican, Tennessee. He said, reference the border bill and the House Bill 2. That's the one, of course, presented by the House about 8 months ago. He said the Senate has been sitting on it for almost a year. They haven't done a thing. So the answer to this question is right now, Congress is in gridlock. Gridlock. And that's why the 10th Amendment and the power of the state is so important. You as a constituent, myself as a member of Congress, but just a voter, just as a voter, we've got to be loud and proud of the fact that this is our country and encourage those governors on those border states, stand your ground. Give us time to stand in the gap until we get Donald Trump into the White House and do what needs to be done. And that phrase, stand in the gap, is found in the Bible, reference protecting people from those who would do them harm. And then he continues this reference. We did our job, and again, this is Tennessee Congressman Andy Oglas. We did our job in the House. We passed HB 2, which would have secured the border 8 months ago. That's fewer murders, that's fewer rapes, that's fewer overdoses, that's fewer carjackings, and all of that is correct, by the way, because so many of the illegals are involved in everything I just went through, murder, rape, overdoses, and carjackings. And that's a fact. Now, maybe somebody else might have committed the rape, the murder, the drug overdose, or the carjacking, but these guys that actually did it would not have because they wouldn't have been in the country. Do you understand the difference? I know you do. He says, we just passed our bill. If Biden had signed our bill, but he's a feckless piece of crap. Those are the words of a Tennessee congressman. He's a feckless piece of crap, but he's not going to do it. He said that what they're proposing is nothing more than amnesty, and that is correct. We're going to spend more time on that issue in our second hour. You do not want to miss that part of the show today. Now, here's something else to consider. What happens when someone calls for black reparations and then realize that their history, their family history involved, they were involved in slave trading? One of those who got caught in that was on The View. She got that shock.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country. Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I just sensed that there could be something in my family history that would be disappointing.
Negative.
Negative, yes. I thought I was going to have that kind of moment. And Skip had asked me to do it for a long time. And I finally decided to do it because I thought it'd be helpful for my children and my children's children to know what their real history was, you know. But what I found out was that my mother's family, while they are Puerto Rican, they actually originate from Spain. And the reason that they moved to Puerto Rico is because the slave trade had been sort of canceled in Spain and then Curacao, and then they moved all of their slaves to Puerto Rico. And so the family business, I had been told that they were printers and journalists, but they were in fact enslavers. And my mother...
So a hush fell over the audience.
It was deeply disappointing.
Now, Sunny Halston of The View, she was doing an ancestry check. And it turned out the ancestors were not printers and journalists. They were involved in slave trading. Now, this should emphasize to everyone, what your great-great-great-great-grandparents did should not affect you today. But that's what the Black reparations is all about. My dad had nothing to do with bringing slaves over, nor did my granddad, nor his, to my knowledge. And I'm sure Sonny Halston didn't think her relatives of any type had anything to do with slave trading. Well, they did. And a lot of past families will find that all over the world, not just reference in America, not just black slaves, and not just slavery because of color, but because they had power over them. Go back to the Roman Empire and start there, or even before, obviously. And then Sonny Halston, who... looks, and she claims more Puerto Rican and in color, but she may or may not have some black ancestry. And that's not the point. But she learned something about her mother that was 180 degrees from the position she often poses.
Deeply disappointed because my mother really identified as Puerto Rican. She was part of the civil rights movement, and she was deeply ingrained in black culture. And identified herself as black for race, but Hispanic for ethnicity.
Okay.
But her race is white. She's European.
Yeah.
I know. It's weird because when you look at her, my mother's blonde and she has light eyes, and my whole family looks like that. So I think inside I sort of knew that this was my history, and that's probably why I didn't want to do it. And I spoke to my mom about it. She was deeply disappointed. She actually cried about it. And then she said, maybe that's why I have been so connected to black culture, because it's an atonement in my spirit.
And that might well be. And that's not to be disregarded and mocked. But the point being, when you hold other people up to a certain standard, they don't meet your standard and your views, you're going to condemn them and you're going to persecute them. Look into the mirror first. Again, back to the Bible. Why are you worried about the splinter in your fellow man's eye when you get the log in your eye? I can understand her mother obviously feeling that I need to atone for what we did in the past and how I presented myself. I'm not condemning. I'm just enlightening. And I hope everyone sees that picture. Now, here's something else that we need to be aware of. I don't know how many times Joe Biden is going to make remarks similar to this. I know he has made remark, and others have joined in, that the most existential threat to our nation and possibly the world would be Donald Trump. That's the biggest threat to our nation, our world. Even greater than nukes destroying the world? Well, they seem to think possibly yes, or that he might lead to nukes, which would add to the existential threat. But Joe Biden is now making another claim. Stand by. You do not know how big this is going to get. Here it comes. Joe Biden is now saying, and I'm quoting, this is at a campaign reception he had yesterday. There is only one existential threat we face in this world. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. There is only one existential threat we face in this world, and that's the environment. I mean it, literally, is the existential threat. Climate change is what he's pushing. Climate change is the greatest threat to the world. It is the only one, according to Joe Biden, as of yesterday. I don't know what he would say today. But he continued at that point. He said it is even more consequential than nuclear power, nuclear war. That would be horrible and awful, and it would just make the environment incredibly worse. Yeah, that I will agree with. But it's about the environment. Just another way to push climate change. Just today, Catholic League president pointed out the president's assessment of the issues facing our nation is wildly out of sync with the views of ordinary Americans. That I would agree with. And then they point to a recent Harvard-Harris poll that found Americans see immigration as the number one issue facing the country, followed by inflation and the economy. Climate change does not rank compared to immigration, inflation, and the economy. But what the hey? What do you say climate change is it? What can we do? What can we do? Well, we can push you all into gas cars or you simply walk. And we shut off all the gas stoves and gas water heaters. Unless you're among the elite rich, you get to keep the on your planes. You won't be able to fly anywhere because of the carbon footprint. Unless you have your own plane, you're allowed to do that. But here comes a proposal. This, because they're worried about the earth warming, right? Now, you know this yourself. If you're standing in the sun and it's a hot day, you're going to try to cover yourself, get in the shade, and you might have a parasol, a fancy word for an umbrella, and you're going to open it up and protect yourself from the sun and the heat, right? Makes standard sense. Well, now scientists are looking in the fact of a fringe idea where it started, but now pointing out with Earth at its hottest point in recorded history and humans doing far from enough to stop it from overheating, a growing number of astronomers and physicists are preparing a potential leap, a giant beach umbrella floating in outer space, a huge sunshade sent it far away point between the Earth and the sun so it would block a small but crucial amount of solar radiation. And they say if just 2% of the sun's radiation is blocked, it'd be enough to cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius, or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 degrees. So what do you think? We could get a giant umbrella and put it out in space. Now, they're going to call it a parasol, but it's an umbrella. Give me a break. And they're going to position it where it's just right between us and the sun, and it would have to be moving as the sun moves around us. Oh, does the sun move around? Oh, I got that wrong in science. You know what I meant. Of course, it had to follow Earth in our annual trek around the sun and had to be in the right position all the time. Hey, you want to make fun of it? Go ahead, but wait till they start launching that first parasail. Coming up, more stories on immigration. Lock and load, ready, on the right.